Hey, Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're continuing our reading from the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is chapter 6. And today we're doing a double verse, but we'll only recite the first because that's all that will fit on the screen. So we'll do the first verse together. Payangsi yasam apibat putra sneha snutani alam bhagavan devaki putraha kaivalyadi akhila pradaha. So as we've pointed out many times, but we still continue to hear that some devotees don't get it. Like this on the second line, the word snutani normally is written with an I on the end. If you look in the synonyms, you'll see it's S-N-U-T-A-N-I. So when it's changed to a Y, it's deliberate so that you run it into the next word. You don't say it separately. You don't say snutani alam. It's snutanyalam. When you see it changed to a Y, it means that you are supposed to run it together. Don't say them separately, okay? So let's try to get it right. Payangsi yasam apibhat putra sneha snutanyalam bhagavan devaki putra kaivalya jakila pradaha. Payangsi yasam apibhat putra sneha snutanyalam bhagavan devaki putra kaivalya jakila pradaha. Payangsi yasam apibhat putra sneha snutanyalam bhagavan devaki putra kaivalya jakila pradaha. Please chant. Payangsi yasam apibhat putra sneha snutanyalam kaivalya jakila pradaha. Payangsi yasam apibhat putra sneha snutanyalam bhagavan devaki putra kaivalya jakila pradaha. Payangsi yasam apibhat putra sneha snutanyalam bhagavan devaki putra kaivalya jakila pradaha. Payangsi yasam apibhat putra sneha snutanyalam bhagavan devaki putra kaivalya jakila pradaha. Vaishnavis. Payangsi yasam apibhat putra sneha snutanyalam bhagavan devaki putra kaivalya jakila pradaha. Payangsi yasam apibhat putra sneha snutanyalam bhagavan devaki putra kaivalya jakila pradaha. Payangsi yasam apibhat putra sneha snutanyalam Bhagavan Devaki Putra Kaivalya Yakila Pradaha. So I'll recite the next verse, then we'll do the synonyms. Tasam aviratam krishne kurvati nang sutekshanam napudakalpate rajan sangsarogyana sambhavaha. So, synonyms. Payangsi. Milk coming from the body. Yasam. Of all of whom? Apibat. Lord Krishna drank. Putra sneha snutani. That milk coming from the bodies of the gopis. Not artificially, but because of maternal affection. Alam. Sufficiently. Bhagavan. The Supreme Personality of Godhead. Devaki Putraha. Who appeared as a son of Devaki. Kaivalya Adi. Like liberation or merging into the Brahman effulgence. Akhila Pradaha. The bestower of all similar blessings. Tasam. Of all of them. Of all the gopis. Aviratam. Constantly. Krishne. Unto Lord Krishna. Kurvatinam. Making. Suta Ikshanam. As a mother looks upon her child. Na. Never. Punaha. Again. Kalpate. Can be imagined. Rajan. O King Parikshit. Sangsaraha. The material bondage of birth and death. Ajnana sambhavaha. Which is to be accepted by foolish persons. Ignorantly trying to become happy. So, Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is the bestower of many benedictions, including liberation, kaivalya, or oneness with the Brahman effulgence. For that Personality of Godhead, the gopis always felt maternal love, and Krishna sucked their breasts with full satisfaction. Therefore, because of their relationship as mother and son, although the gopis were engaged in various family activities, one should never think that they returned to this material world after leaving their bodies. Please repeat. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is the bestower of many benedictions, including liberation, kaivalya, or oneness with the Brahman effulgence. For that Personality of Godhead, the gopis always felt maternal love. And Krishna sucked their breasts with full satisfaction. Therefore, because of their relationship as mother and son, although the gopis were engaged in various family activities, one should never think that they returned to this material world after leaving their bodies. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The advantage of Krishna consciousness is described herein. Krishna consciousness gradually develops on the transcendental platform. One may think of Krishna as the Supreme Personality. One may think of Krishna as the Supreme Master. One may think of Krishna as the Supreme Friend. One may think of Krishna as the Supreme Son. Or one may think of Krishna as the Supreme Conjugal Lover. If one is connected with Krishna in any of these transcendental relationships, the course of one's material life is understood to have already ended. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, text 9, Takta dehang punarjanma naeti mam eti. For such devotees, going back home, back to Godhead, is guaranteed. Na puna kalpate rajan sangsaro jnana sambhavaha. This verse also guarantees that devotees who constantly think of Krishna in a particular relationship will never return to this material world. in this material world of samsara, there are the same relationships. One thinks, here is my son, here is my wife, here is my lover, or here is my friend. But these relationships are temporary illusions. Ajnana sambhavaha. Such a consciousness awakens in ignorance. But when the same relationships awaken in Krishna consciousness, one's spiritual life is revived and one is guaranteed to return home back to Godhead. Even though the gopis, who were friends of Rohini and Mother Yashoda, and who allowed their breasts to be sucked by Krishna, were not directly Krishna's mothers, they all had the same chance as Rohini and Yashoda to go back to Godhead and act as Krishna's mothers-in-law, servants, and so on. The word samsara refers to attachment for one's body, home, husband or wife, and children. But although the gopis and all the other inhabitants of Vrindavan had the same affection and attachment for husband and home, their central affection was for Krishna in some transcendental relationship. And therefore, they were guaranteed to be promoted to Goloka Vrindavan in the next life, to live with Krishna eternally in spiritual happiness. The easiest way to attain spiritual elevation, to be liberated from this mature world, and to go back home, back to Godhead, is recommended by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Krishnera Sangsara Kara Chadi Anachara. One should give up all sinful activities and remain in the family of Krishna. Then one's liberation is guaranteed. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tinamani Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Bacharane Nirvishesha Shunivani Paschachade Shtarani Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unvilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtang Stapitang Jaina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru and Vaishyamangsha Shri Rupam Sagadatam Sahagana Ragana Tanvatam Tang Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Purjana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitangsha Hey Krishna Karana Sindhu Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishavanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priya Pancha Kompaturubhya Shah Kripa Sindhu Vevacha Patitanang Pavanebhyo Vaisyavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Dittana Nishi Advaita Gadad Harishvasadi Gorbhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So it's indicated that even these gopis who had personal connection with Krishna, did personal service directly to Krishna, they had to give up their bodies and go back to Godhead. We know from the scriptures that there are actually two classes of gopis. Those who came with Krishna from the spiritual world to enact his pastimes here in Gokula Vrindavan. The original Vrindavan in the spiritual world is known as Goloka Vrindavan. Either way, Go is indicated, right? Goloka, the planet of the cows, or Gokula. Kula means, just like we have Guru Kula, it means place of or residence. So Gokula, the place where the cows reside. So again, if you're not into Go, if you're inimical to Go, mother cow, you can't go to Gokula or what to speak of Goloka. So every one of us, we've been here in this material world for a long time. If you've come directly from the spiritual world, forgive me, but I'm assuming that every one of us, we've been here in this material world for a long time. Which means that along the way, we definitely were inimical to Mother Cow. So this lifetime of practicing Krishna consciousness is a way to consciously renovate that bad consciousness of being inimical to Mother Cow. We have to totally renovate that consciousness. We have to again become lovers of the cow in relation to Krishna, not separately, because many people, they form these societies to love the whales or to love the wallabies or whatever. And they try to do it independently of Krishna consciousness. But that doesn't work either. Because inevitably, you love this animal, but you neglect that animal. Just like last night I was seeing on Facebook, one devotee's putting up a split picture on one side and half the face of a cow, on the other side half the face of a dog. And he's saying in there is no difference. Because we know many people, they love dog like anything. They will die to protect dog. They'll go into debt to make dog healthy, literally. people go into debt because they didn't have medical insurance for the dog, and the dog gets sick, and so they have to go in debt to have the dog have a cancer operation or something. They'll do more for the dog. If their cousin or their mother calls up and said, I'm dying, I need an operation, forget it, I don't have enough money. But the dog gets sick, they'll spend any amount of money to make the dog get well. So dog consciousness, and Prabhupada said that here in one class. He said, he was reciting that verse from the Brahma Samhita. Krishna Abhipalayantam, that Krishna is maintaining the cows. Lakshmi Surabhi Abhipalayantam. Surabhi Abhipalayantam means he's maintaining the Surabhi cows. Prabhupada said, here is dog Abhipalayantam. You're maintaining dog. You know, you don't want to maintain cows. It's too difficult. Or you're totally inimical to them. You want to kill them. But dog Abhipalayantam, everybody's into. No problem. So we have to renovate our mentality towards Mother Cow. Otherwise, we cannot gain entrance into Gokula, what to speak of Goloka. But the Gopis and the Gopas, they don't need to be renovated. They love the cows. They know how to maintain the cows. This is their life and soul. They're living in a Vaishya community. And the cows are their life and soul. And Krishna, although he appeared ostensibly in the family of Kshatriya, Vasudeva, in Mathura, still he leaves for Vrindavan to show the world that although I'm the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I am maintaining cows. So what to speak of you? Follow in my footsteps. Do that. So surrender. Part of surrendering to Krishna is surrendering again to having the right mentality towards the cow. It is a form of surrender. It's not easy. We have first-hand experience in ISKCON. We created so many huge farm communities at one point in time, and a lot of them are no longer with us. Because it's not easy. And especially, we didn't have much choice at that time. Most of the people who were joining were city slickers, like myself. So you take a city slicker, born and raised in the city, and you transfer them to the mode of goodness farm community, they're not going to last very long. Unless they consciously renovate their consciousness. And that's what happened. A lot of devotees very passionately went to the farms and worked hard and da-da-da, and maintain the cows and learn how to use the bulls to plow the field, and then a few years later, boom, they're gone. They're gone because they didn't really surrender to having their consciousness renovated to that platform. And therefore, in general, it's easier to turn those who are already farming into devotees, and they know what to do already. Just like when Gita Nagari in Pennsylvania. All the surrounding farmers, they were blown away by how much production our cows were given. You know, because these things they log the cow's production every day. This cow is given so many pounds of milk, that cow is given. And the farmers in the surrounding communities, they were blown away by how many pounds of milk our cows were given, because they were not going to be killed, they were loved, they were well taken care of, so they were giving milk like anything. And their calves were not stolen away from them prematurely, ever, not ever taken, but you know, of course you take the calf away so they don't drink too much of the milk, and it's not good for them either. But the devotees were following proper practice, so the cows were happy and they were giving so much milk. So those same farmers, they were already farming. The mistake we made, we didn't try really hard to make them into devotees. So Krishna consciousness preaching begins at home. We should really concentrate on the immediate community as much as possible. But generally speaking, we neglect that. And sometimes with dire consequences. I had the good fortune of living with and serving with Mukunda Maharaj for several years. And he gave me first-hand account of what happened at the manor. That when they first got the Bhaktivedanta Manor, donated by George Harrison, they had a bright idea to have a huge rock concert to make money and to spread awareness so that the devotees were there. And the problem is the Bhaktivedanta Manor is in a very small village, Lechmore Heath. Very tiny village. So without consulting the villagers, without warning them, they had this huge rock concert. And the place was overrun with people and cars and the loud music. So from that moment on, the villagers hated them. And they tried their best to get rid of the manor. And when they failed in doing that, then they wouldn't give them permission to expand. And they just fought them tooth and nail because of that one oversight. Nobody bothered to knock on the doors and warn them, we're going to have this big concert, would you like to come, da da da. So we should learn from this. Our first business is to preach in the immediate community that we live in. Yes, we go out and do we outreach far, and far, but don't neglect home. And it was driven home to me. Last night I went on the Harinam Usually I go down in the van and then I come back a little early, so I take the train back. So I got off at the train station here, and one woman was walking her dog. You would normally just pass by her, but she was, "Oh, I'm so happy to see you. It's so rare to see a saintly person." Of course, I'm not a saintly person, but that was her take. I'm trying to be a servant of a saintly person, but she said like that. "It's so rare to see a saintly person crossing the street in this neighborhood." And so I chatted with her for a little while. I asked her, "Are you aware of our community?" She said, "Yes, I come to the restaurant." No, no, no. Like that. There's so many people like that around. Very nice people. Just have to take a little time. And if we don't do that, if we neglect them, and I see we do it all the time here, and I mean, I don't mean to like get into management, but it's so obvious. A lot of times devotees, they have this whole place in front of the temple to speak. They have this grassy area to stand in, but they'll stand right in the middle of the sidewalk. Four or five devotees having a conversation. People will come from either side, and the devotees don't even blink. They don't move. And people get very mad at that. I saw one day personally, a gentleman, call him a gentleman, he was very nasty mouth at one point, but he was dressed nicely, suit and tie, and he was coming along, that was happening. Some devotees were blocking his way. And he started swearing, and, you know, "You Hare Krishnas, you're like..." Like that. Hated us for that one thing, because we don't get out of their way. So we have to be conscious. You can't be Krishna conscious if you're not conscious. So we have to be conscious. Little things like that will set people off. You block their way, they're coming on the sidewalk, and you don't move out of their way. It's absolutely not necessary for us to stand in the middle of the sidewalk to have conversations. We have so much room here. And if you want to stand, you know, don't want to stand right in front, stand on the grass then, but don't stand on the sidewalk. People really dislike that. In America, that's a major faux pas. Maybe in other countries, they don't care so much. They'll just walk around you and not be concerned. But Americans are very, very uptight like that. If you're in my way, get out of my way. So, but the gopis, again, they're very, very conscious of everything. Their duties towards the cow, towards the land. And, of course, it's all centered around Krishna, as is stated here in this purport. But ultimately, the test is going to be, what consciousness do we have when we leave our bodies? This is the whole thing about Krishna consciousness. So we're being trained how to leave our body. The final lesson Prabhupada gave us. What is that? Etavan Sankhyokya Abhyam. What is that? How does that verse go again? Do you remember that one? Etavan Sankhyokya. Sadharma Parinishaya. Janmalava Parakpungsam Ante Narayana Smriti. This is the whole point. Ante Narayana Smritihi. Are you going to remember Narayan or Krishna, the Supreme Narayan, the source of all the Narayans, at the end of life? Are you going to remember him? This is the whole idea. So we're being trained how to do this. We're being trained, and I found a couple of verses here. I didn't want to read because this is very, very germane to this purport and our training. So this is the Madhyalila, chapter 8, text 229. Because many people talk about Siddha Deha, and they act as if the Hare Krishna movement doesn't deal with that. But we do. It's in Prabhupada's books. It's in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and Prabhupada discusses. But it's not something artificial. If you want to know your original form, that's what Siddha Deha means, your original form. You don't have to speculate that I'm a gopi, I'm a this or that. You surrender to and serve a resident of Vrindavan, Srila Prabhupada, and all of that will be revealed to you. You don't have to speculate. So this verse in the Madhyalila says, Siddha deha chinti kare tahani sevana sakhi bhave paya radha krishna racharan. Prabhupada translates, after thinking of Radha and Krishna and their pastimes for a long time, and after getting completely free from material contamination, one is transferred to the spiritual world. There the devotee attains an opportunity to serve Radha and Krishna as one of the gopis. So, nice purport, a little bit lengthy, but it's very, very important to meditate on. His Prabhupada gave us everything. Sometimes people try to, you know, especially young devotees, they get fooled into that. Oh, he gave you just the beginnings, the ABCs, but if you really want to know higher consciousness, you have to come to this Maharaj or that Maharaj. No, it's all in Prabhupada's books. You just have to read them. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur comments that the word Siddha Deha, perfected spiritual body, refers to a body beyond the material gross body composed of five elements and a subtle astral body composed of mind, intelligence, and false ego. In other words, one attains a completely spiritual body fit to render service to the transcendental couple, Radha and Krishna. So this is Prabhupada is giving us, exactly, clearly, what our situation is and what we should be aspiring for. Sarva parivinir muktam tatparatvena nirmalam. When one is situated in his spiritual body, which is beyond this gross and subtle material body, he is fit to serve Radha and Krishna. That body is called Siddha Deha. The living entity attains a particular type of gross body in accordance with his past activities and mental condition. In this life, the mental condition changes in different ways, and the same living entity gets another body in the next life according to his desires. The mind intelligence and false ego are always engaged in an attempt to dominate material nature. According to that subtle astral body, one attains a gross body to enjoy the objects of one's desires. According to the activities of the present body, one prepares another subtle body. And according to the subtle body, one attains another gross body. This is a process of material existence. However, when one is spiritually situated and does not desire a gross or subtle body, he attains his original spiritual body. So this is the situation. Again, Prabhupada is clearly stating, you don't have to go here, there, and everywhere. Everything is in Prabhupada's books. You just have to read them. And if we don't do that, we see that leaving this body becomes particularly difficult and painful. I know right now my mother, 85 years old, she's in rapid decline. And it's kind of, you know, you see it. It's kind of awe-inspiring, actually, when you see somebody. Because my mother was a highly astute intellectual personality. She was a teacher. And very, very sharp, completely aware of everything, of, you know, like on the physical platform, on the mental platform, like that. Very, very sharp person. And so now that she's in a nursing home, she's been there for years, she never wanted to take any kind of drugs to keep her calm. Most of the people in nursing homes, they submit to that, and they just give them these drugs to keep them calm, and therefore they can control them nicely. But my mother never wanted to do that. So now her mental state is degenerating quite rapidly. And I'm sure, I'm going there today, I'm sure they're going to want to start giving her drugs, which she never wanted to do. But this is our situation. If we don't get off the bodily platform, gross and subtle, and come to the spiritual platform, then when the end of life comes, one becomes naturally fearful. Because all your life you're thinking that this is me, this bag of skin with bones and blood, this is me. So when that body starts to deteriorate rapidly, when the mind, you can't control your mind anymore, you thought you were in control, very sharp, astute mentally, but now you can't control that, then you become extremely fearful. So they told me yesterday, somebody went in her room to give her physical therapy, and because her mind is degenerated, she thought they were attacking her. So she jumped off the bed and ran out the room like that. So it's very, very, you know, instructive. If we think that's not going to happen to us, it's going to probably assure us, don't think this is not going to happen to you, meaning this old age and the body falling apart. It will. So be prepared. So understanding what our ultimate destination is supposed to be and understanding how we can attain that is extremely important. That's what Krishna consciousness is all about. Every one of us is meant to imbibe this personally. And when we see the benefit that we're gaining from Krishna consciousness, then we become automatically prepared and enthusiastic to give it to others so that they don't have to go through what my mother's going through. She's been favorable to Krishna consciousness, but she always thought of herself as a dyed-in-the-wool Christian, you know, Jesus will save her. But still on the bodily platform, obviously. Not because there has to be a process. You don't get off the bodily platform just by wishful thinking. There's a process, and the process of Krishna consciousness is meant to do that. To gradually get us off the bodily platform, out of this misconception that I am this body, and give us the real conception of who we are. We are eternal servants of Krishna. So today is the appearance of Radha Kund. And in the Nectar of Instruction, Rupa Goswami recommends in the 11th text that this is the highest, most important place in the universe. In the previous verse, he said that Mathura Puri is more important than Vaikuntha Loka because Krishna appeared there. Vrindavan, forests of Vrindavan are more important than Mathura because Krishna displayed his rasa dance there. Govardhan is more important than the forest of Vrindavan because Krishna placed his lotus feet there and he performed so many activities there. But the highest of all manifestations is Radha Kund, because this is the divine kund of Radharani, and even Krishna himself aspires to take bath in Radha Kund and meet Radharani there. So this is the highest place in the universe, is Radhakut. How many have been there? Put your hand up if you've been to Radhakut. Majority of people in the room. Those who haven't, you should go there. And on this night, this is called Bahulashtami, the eighth night of the waning moon in this month of Damodar. Everyone, all the devotees practically in that area of Vrindavan, they will go there tonight and at midnight try to take bath. A lot of devotees from the ISKCON temple, Krishna Balaram temple, will go there also. Andrew used to go there and they used to have big kirtan, bhajan kirtan at Radhakund on this night. But you have to get there early because there's so many thousands and thousands of devotees that go there that if you don't get there early, you can't even get close. However, we should not think that if I can't go to Radhakund, if I can't be in Vrindavan, no. One more verse I'm going to read, just a little bit of where Prabhupada assures that if you can be in Vrindavan, then at least be in the Vrindavan mood. And so this is also another point that I have been driving home in minute classes. This verse is from the Antilila, chapter 5, text 71. Ramananda Raya Kate Kayala Nahaya Manushanaya Raya Krishna Bhakti Rasamaya. Translation: I cannot properly describe the discourses of Ramananda Raya, for he is not an ordinary human being. He is fully absorbed in the devotional service of the Lord. Purport: extremely important. Very short, but extremely important. Prabhupada says, one is forbidden to accept the guru or spiritual master as an ordinary human being. Guru Shunara Matihi. When Ramananda Roy spoke to Pradyumna Mishra could understand that Ramananda Roy was not an ordinary human being. A spiritually advanced person who is authorized to act as the spiritual master speaks as the Supreme Personality of God it dictates from within. I've been driving home this point a lot recently because many devotees have this misconception that they can correct Srila Prabhupada. You cannot correct a pure devotee of the Lord. And this is why. A spiritually advanced person who is authorized to act as the spiritual master speaks as the Supreme Personality of God it dictates from within. That means whatever a pure devotee says is being dictated by the Supreme Personality of God, and you cannot criticize them. It may seem to you that it is a mistake, or why did he say this, or why did he do that? But every act, every word of a pure devotee is dictated by the Supreme Personality of God, and therefore you cannot criticize. And you cannot correct. And again, the example of Arjuna and Krishna. Krishna told Arjuna to kill Karna when he came off the cart, off his chariot. Normally you cannot do that. And Kshatriyas cannot do that. That is a very grievous error. But because Krishna told him to do it, then it's perfect. So whatever Krishna dictates is perfect. And Krishna is dictating to the pure devotee from within how to act and what to say. So you cannot criticize. You cannot say, Prabhupada said that, but. No. You may not understand, and so try to understand, but you cannot correct a pure devotee because their speech is being dictated from within by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, it is not he that is personally speaking. Prabhupada said, the Supreme Personality of God, it dictates from within. Thus, it is not he that is personally speaking. In other words, when a pure devotee or spiritual master speaks, what he says should be accepted as having been directly spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the Parampara system. So there's a lot more we can say about Radhakund and other things, but we'll stop here, leave time for a little discussion if anybody has any questions or comments. Briefly, I think you all know, but briefly, after Krishna killed Arishtasur, Radharani and the gopis accused him of being a cow killer. How can you kill the bull who is a member of the cow family? We cannot do that. That is sinful. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God and he cannot do anything sinful. But just for pastime, he asked, what can I do? You have to perform some kind of atonement for your sin of killing the bull. Krishna said, okay. So with his heel, he dug a kunda. This is Shyamakunda. And he called all the holy waters from all over the universe to come. Ganga, Yamuna, as we say in the pujari room when you want to call the waters, there's a mantra for calling all the divine waters. Gange Chajimona Chaiva Godavari Sarasi Narbadi Sabari Kabari Sindhu Jali Spin Sanidin Kuru. Well, Krishna didn't have to recite that mantra. He called all the holy places from all over the universe. Come. So they came, entered his kun, he took bath, and he said to the Radharani and the gopis, now I'm purified. But you're impure. You're impure. Because you're criticizing. You're impure. What are you going to do? So Radharani said, we'll create our own kun. So with their bangles, the gopis, they dug this Radha kun. Where's the water to come from? So they formed a chain from that spot to Manasi Ganga, and with buckets they were bringing water. But all the holy places, rivers personified all the holy waters, they were still there, and they begged Radharani, please, why are you taking so much trouble? Allow us to fill up your kun. So she agreed, and they did that. They filled up Radha kun. Later on, the two were connected, but initially they were two separate kuns, Radha kun and Shama kun. Is that okay? All right, I think we can stop here. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaura Bhaktivedanta Ki Jai.
Give me my office number.
Are you the only one? I'm the only rascal. So, the word that I do,